I want to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I was talking to my neighbor this week, and I knew he was upset about something. I sat in his living room, and he told me that he had some visitors, some of his relatives had come, a lady relative of his and her husband. And he said that she had been very, very wild in her teenage years and young 20s. She was married and divorced maybe more than once. And later on, she met a man who had been married and divorced himself. They married and then made a profession of Christ. Whether it was a true profession, I have no idea. But he said they went to this particular church and sat there for a few services until some of the members found out about their former life and how they had lived and been divorced and remarried. And one of the elders came to them, sent there by the pastor and some of the elders of the church, and asked them to leave. Said, we people with your reputation in the past aren't welcome here. So I thought to myself, as he told me that, as we read in these epistles of the holy apostles of our Lord, every church was made up of men and women who had formerly been criminals, if not against man, then surely against God. Yeah. Yeah. Those who made up the Roman church, for instance, they looked back upon their unsaved life and they blushed with shame to think about it. The apostle was writing to them and he said, you were servants of sin. You yielded your member as servants to unrighteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things was death. He was writing to those in the Corinthian church, and he said, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, and such were some of you. He was writing to the church at Colossae, and he said, mortify your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, impurity, inordinate affection, sensual and fleshly lust, concupiscence, evil desires, covetousness, greed, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. He was writing to the church of Thessalonica and he said, you turn to God from your idols. They loved their idols, they fed their idols, and they served their idols. But now they turn to God from their idols to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered you from the wrath to come. Criminals. Criminals against man. Criminals surely against God. And we come here to this church in Ephesus, and we look on their former life, and Paul says, you were liars. You were thieves. You were swearers. You lived in bitterness. You had a heart full of anger and resentment and prejudice. That's the kind of people that they were. And then he goes on here in chapter 5 in verses 3 through 8, and you can see what he called them there. He called them fornicators, unclean people, covetous, filthy, foolish talkers, and jesting. And then he says in verse 8, you sometimes were darkness. You sometimes were darkness. He says here in verse 25 again, wherefore putting away lying. I hate lying, don't you? We often say, I hate a liar. But which one among us can plead innocent? I hate it. But I tell you, I was one of the chief liars before the Lord saved me. And he says here in verse 28, he says, let him that stole steal no more. Him that stole. I hate to be stole from. I hate a thief. The best chainsaw I ever had in my life was stolen from me. But I tell you, I was the chief among them myself. No tool was safe around me, I say with shame. And the church is made up of people who were former thieves. You don't just have to steal an object from somebody to be a thief. What about stealing someone's reputation? What about stealing what belongs to someone else? What about stealing from God? What belongs to God? Render to Caesar the things that's Caesar's, and render to God the things that's God. What's God's? Our love, our trust, our faith, our perfect obedience. Have we stole from God? All of us are thieves, aren't we? Let him that stole. This church was made up of liars. It was made up of thieves. Sin's a very addictive thing. We talk about drugs being addictive. I tell you, sin is the most addictive thing. It can bind a man like those new cords of the Philistines bound Samson after he lost his strength. I was listening the other night to the news, and this police officer had arrested this thief. And before the police officer got him to jail, he stole the police officer's cell phone. There are people who are so addicted to sin, they can't quit it. There are people who are addicted to strong drink. They're going to live drinking, and they're going to die drinking. They're addicted to it. Brother Todd Nybert was telling me the other day that he was preaching a message, and he'd got off on something he wasn't for sure about, but I'm sure about it. He was warning people to beware of getting on these internet sites with all this porn. He said some men had been getting on those sites and they'd got addicted to it. And he said, he was telling some of his congregation, he said, you think it can't happen to you? That's how addictive sin is. You were thieves. They lived that way. They were liars. Every time they opened their mouth, filthy language, and they couldn't stop it. Sin is addictive. It can bind you. But instead of you and I driving such people from the church and telling them we have nothing to do with people like that, we tell them we got a gospel suited for them. You and I have a Savior We have a gospel. We have a God that breaks the power of canceled sins. He proclaims liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, He brings them out of the darkness and He breaks their bands asunder and sets them free. We don't run people off because they're thieves and liars and drunks and fornicators. The Lord Jesus came to save sinners like that. We have examples of this all through the early church. Listen to this. Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of preaching that was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. See what the gospel does that we preach? It sets you free from sin, free from sin's power, free from sin's guilt. Such were some of you. You were fornicators. You were idolaters. You were adulterers. You were thieves. You were liars. Such were some of you. But ye were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Why should we run somebody off? Because he's a liar. We have a Savior to deliver him from his lies. Why should we run a drunk off or a thief off? We got a Savior to deliver him from that. You say he's bound back. He may very well be bound back. I can testify to that. I can testify to being bound by lust. But I tell you, there's a Savior that frees you. He frees you. You were thieves. Still no more. I tell you, is that an impossible command? It may be to some people until they meet the Savior. And then what the Savior requires, He'll give you grace to do. Let him that stole steal no more. Let him that lied lie no more. Ye were darkness. That's what He told the Colossians. You were darkness. You lived in darkness. You committed the deeds of darkness. But now, ye are the children of light. Now you're light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of light. Let him that stole steal no more. Old Brother Barnard used to say, if the grace of Christ won't do for a man what the law commands, then it's worthless. If the grace of Christ won't do for a man what the law commands, it's worthless. Well, I'll say this about that. He'll not only do what the law commands, but he'll go one step farther. He'll do more than what the law commands. And that's what we see here in the context. Look at the text. Look at this. Look here in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying. That's what grace will do for you. It'll stop our lying lips, but it doesn't stop there. He goes one step farther. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. It replaces that with truth. It not only takes the lying lips away, but it'll give you truthful lips to speak. And look here in verse 28. Look in verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more. That's what grace will do for you. The law says thou shalt not steal. That's a negative commandment. Something you should not do. And grace not only stops a man stealing, but he goes one step farther. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. See what grace does for us. See what Christ does for us. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The cursing of God, the telling of filthy jokes, like maggots speaking evil of others, corrupt communication proceeding out of your mouth. He stops that. He puts a check upon our lips. But look what he does. but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up in the comfort, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Takes his old corrupt mouth away and lets him speak language that comforts people and helps people and edifies. And look here in verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. That's what grace does for a man. He puts this away by God's grace. And here's what it gives him. It replaces him with a kind and tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. We have a good Savior. We have a good gospel. We have a good God. He not only delivers us from evil, but He fills us with goodness. He delivers us from darkness, and He fills us with His light. He delivers us from the power of Satan, and He fills us with the power of God's Spirit. He delivers us from the lust of sin and creates in us a love for holiness. That's what grace does. I tell you, it has thrilled my soul to see so many lost people come in here lately. It thrills me. I'd love to preach to lost people because we got a Savior for lost people. And everybody He saves is a sinner. And that's why I like to see lost people coming in here. If you're not a sinner, I don't even have a gospel for you. I don't know what to tell you. I'm proud of you. Don't want to be around you though. Don't want to be around. You don't want to be around me. If you're not a sinner, you will be when you hang out with me very long. But if you're a sinner, or if you're a real sinner, you can just put your finger on this and that and that, and finally you just say, I'm just a sinner. I tell you, we got a real Savior for you. We got a Savior who came all the way from heaven and took our humanity to Himself, not to do anything for Himself, but to do everything for sinners. How does He do this? How does He do this? How can He come here and say, lie no more, but speak the truth, steal no more, but work with your hands and give? Put this bitterness and this wrath and this anger away from you and love and be kind and tender-hearted one to another. How can He say that? Is He a Moses? Does He come to us like Moses and He press these things upon us and say, do this or else? That's not the way He does it. And here's one of the blessed things about His salvation. That's not the way He does it. Look what He says back up in verse... We'll look in verse 19. Talking about the Gentiles being past filling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus. And here's what He teaches us. That you put off concerning the former life, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He comes to us and He says, you put off that old man. He's a liar. Don't you walk after him anymore. He's covetous. He's idolatry. Don't you walk after him. He's always accusing others and blaming others. Don't you walk after that old man anymore. But He doesn't leave us there, see. He's not a Moses. He's not a lawgiver in that sense. Look what He does in verse 22. Put on the, that you put off concerning the old man. In verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. See what He does? He gives us a heart that loves the truth and says, now don't lie anymore. He gives us a heart that's so aware that He's tender with us, that He's forgiven us, and He says, now you be tender and you forgive others. He gives us a heart to hate still and to love giving. And he says, now don't you steal anymore. See what he does for us? He sheds abroad the love of God in our heart, and then he commands us to love one another. He gives us a heavenly birth, and then he tells us to love not this world. He creates us a new creature in righteousness and true holiness. And now he says, you live like it. You live like it. He don't command of us what he does not give us the grace and the power and the ability to do. And everything that he commands you to do now is just exactly what you want to do. Isn't it? You'd never lie again, Larry, would you? You'd never steal again from God or man. You'd never sin again. It's not your will to sin. It's not your desire to sin. Why? Because you're a new man in Christ. I wish somebody would have told me this when I was lost. My poor free will Baptist dad beat me over the head with the law. Told me to get my act together and straighten up. Threatened to send me to reform school and everything else to try to straighten me up. He never did tell me about a Savior who would give to me what I needed to love and follow God as a dear child. I'm telling you, everything He requires of you, He gives it to you. And when He gets finished with you, you'll hate the things you used to love. And you'll love the things you used to hate. You cannot live the Christian life until He makes you one. Then I tell you, you'd swim the widest ocean just to be one and to live like one when He makes you one. Lie not one to another, brethren. Don't steal anymore. Put away this corrupt communication. And don't be bitter. But He replaces it with all these good things. That's the kind of Savior that we have. And bless His holy name for it. Yes. Father, we thank You. We come before You today and we do thank You. Lord, we're ashamed of our former life, dead in a state of nature. You know us. You know the shame. And You know the bondage. You know the fetters that held us. But Lord, You freed us. You washed our conscience from dead works. Washed us so clean from guilt and the bondage of sin. Now we can serve the living God. Everything that You demand of us, You've supplied us. Oh, our Lord, we bless Your great name. You're so gracious, so tender, so faithful. We pray this evening that You'd strengthen this dear congregation. You'd make Yourself real to their hearts, that they may love You, may long to be with You in heaven, to see Your glory and Your beauty. We pray for the poor lost. You'd give them life. You'd reveal Yourself to them as their Savior and their Lord. For Christ's sake we pray. Amen.